The theme of our International Higher School of Ministry this year is the undistracted man of God. The undistracted man of God. Of course, I'm not speaking on that. The topic I'm assigned to speak on is avoiding the peer minister's distraction. Avoiding the peer minister's distraction. Of course, it's taken for granted that every one of us here is a minister. We are ministers in our right, in one way or the other, in one capacity or the other. And this topic envisages that there are distractions. There are things that come along the way to stop in us from accomplishing the mandate that we've been assigned. And we want to look at how do we avoid them? How will we be able to meander through them? How will we walk such that we shall not be stopped by those things, especially the pressure, the distraction that is coming from other ministers, peer ministers. And the topic is, I've stated it, there are few words in the topic that would want to look at. The first word is avoiding. To avoid is to abstain from or to shun from something. It is to keep away from something. It is also to see to it that you defeat a thing or that you evade that thing. It is to withdraw from something. And peer is also another word in that topic that talks about our equals, our counterparts, our match, our colleagues, our mates, our fellows, our friends, our contemporaries. So, and then the last word there is distraction, which talks about diversions, interruptions, disturbances, things that tend to divert us, shift our focus from the target, things that work to frustrate, things that want to stop you, things that will shift your concentration, your attention from the focus, from the vision, from the assignment, from the purpose of God, from the mandate that you have received. These are the things that we want to see how we can avoid, how we can stop them. Because if you don't stop distractions, they will stop you. But you are unstoppable in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, and first of all, I want us to look at whether the reality of peer distraction, the reality. Is there anything about peer distraction in ministry? And I want us to take a case study from the book of 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. I want to look at, let's see that peer distraction is real in ministry. 2 Kings chapter 2, we are reading from verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. The next verse. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. The next verse. Verse 3. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. The next verse. Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. The next verse. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. The next verse. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. The next verse. And 50 of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. If now you go enter that water. The man who has the anointing, who has the glory, you already know that day he will be taken away from you. And he's crossing the water, and he has used the power that he manifests, which you have not manifested hitherto. Till this point, we have not seen Elisha manifesting any power. And he used it to divide the water, and he stepped in. It was a defining moment. Praise the Lord. But before we get there, let's look at the distraction. The Bible said that they were at Gilgal. And let me say that is a picture of the experiences of everyone who is called to Christ and everyone who is going to be born, who is going to walk with God. The first step is Gilgal. What is Gilgal? Gilgal is rolled away. That is at the point where the reproaches of Egypt was rolled away from the children of Israel. So it was like the point of being born again. The reproach of your unbelieving, the lifestyle was rolled away. And from there, Elijah said, Elisha, you have answered the call. Will you go beyond this level in your walk with God, in the pursuit of the fulfillment of the assignment that you have been given? And Elisha said, of course I will. But the first thing we want to see there is that the first distraction that Elisha faced was from his man of God. In verse 2, what did Elijah tell him? Can we go back to verse 2? Praise the Lord. Please take us back to verse 2. And Elisha said unto Elisha, don't go. I don't think you are prepared for this journey. Tarry here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. That was a distraction. And it was coming from his prophet, his man of God. The man he believed that this man has the grace of God upon his life. Of course, some people will tarry and say, it is my prophet that said I should wait, so I should go ahead and wait. But Elisha refused to wait, insisted that I don't want to end my Christian walk at Gilgal level. I want to go to better level. Praise the Lord. And he went on with him, and they got to Bethel. Bethel, of course, is the house of God. Remember the encounter Jacob had. And of course, Jacob was not looking for God. Jacob was just on his own, and God revealed himself to him. So it is a point in your new birth experience, in your walk with God, where as a newborn baby, God is just showing you his mercy. You remember when you get born again, there are certain experiences you have. You have not even prayed and you are receiving answers. And it's like, let you continue like this forever. That is the level of better. And they got to better. But one thing that we see in verse 3, is that there at Bethel, they are the sons of the prophet who are satisfied at that level. And they constitute distractions. They have moved from Gilgal and they are finding themselves. I never try. I don't even pray. God answers. So I think I should be here forever. And if you are bent, if you are committed to moving forward, they will constitute a distraction. And there are certain ministers, co-ministers, peers, who are at that level in their walk with God. They do not know anymore. They are like babes. And they are in ministry to produce babes. God help us. And they told Elisha, you can't make it. This level is enough for us. They told him testimony. God have even revealed to us that this master you are following, he is going today. So that you know we are not carnal. We are spiritual. Yes, we are spiritual. We see in the realm of the spirit. We understand the workings of God. And I don't know what pressure you are facing from such people. You look at them, they are not developed. You look at them, they are babies. But it's like they are commanding result. It's like things are happening. And it has a way of trying to say, do I not settle at this level? That was distraction 4. So, number one, distraction came from his prophet, the man he so trusted. I remember some people will come to us. They want to become Neko evangelists. And by the time we have interviewed them and all that, we discover that this one have a calling to this ministry. And the next thing is that says, my pastor says, I should not go. That is distraction from his prophet. He's a big man of God. He said, I shouldn't go. That thing you want to do there, you can do it in church here. Elisha faced that challenge and he was able to overcome. And the others are other people in church. If you leave now, you know the position you are occupying. You know the services you are giving in church. Your presence will be felt. Your absence will be so much felt. Don't you think that what you are doing here is also ministry? Be here and do the ministry you are doing. Those are the sons of the prophets. And they did everything to dissuade Elisha from going forward. But he told them, I know it. The mystery you think you know, I know. But I'm not satisfied yet. Tell somebody, I'm not satisfied yet. There's more to God than I already know. And therefore, I want to go for more. That was Elisha. Said, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going forward. And you discover that from Bethel, God sent his master yet again to Jericho. You remember Jericho? Joshua chapter 5. That was the first encounter. Bible said that Joshua, a servant of God, was on his way and he was prepared for war, for victory. And the next thing is that he saw a man of war and the man was coming against him. And as a man of war that he was, or he is, he challenged him. Are you for us or are you against us? It's interesting what the response was, or what the response is. The response says, nah. If you read in King James, it says, nah. I'm not involved. Until you involve me, I won't be involved. It's a place of total surrender. Until you surrender to him, he will not take you to the next level. When he told Joshua, nah, but as the commander of the armies of heaven, am I come? Joshua said, I understand my level. My level never reached your own. He totally surrendered. It was after he totally surrendered that he now told him in chapter 6 verse 2, now says that this battle, forget about it. He now gave him instruction as to how, friends, if you overcome distractions, you will receive instructions for ministry. But you must get to Jericho. Until you get to Jericho, thank God for success. Thank God for what you are recording. But it's still at the teaching stage. It's still at the lower level. And got to Jericho, submitted completely. And there are still, chapter verse 4, there are still sons of the prophets. People who have got there before you. Friends, there are people who started before you, but they didn't get to the destination. They didn't accomplish the vision. They didn't accomplish the ministry. And they would want to stop us. That is peer distraction. They would want to give up, distract us by any means possible to make sure that you also stop the way or the places they stopped. And they were there. And they said, we are spiritual. We knew that. What do you think that was suggesting? It was suggesting to Elisha, stay here and be with us. Let us operate at this level. This level is enough. But this man have desire. He have a strong passion. He wouldn't be stopped. He insisted, I know it. Hold your peace. And when they couldn't stop him, Elijah, I'm sure Elijah in his mind was nodding his head. This one is like a material for ministry. Remember, all those other ones were sons of the prophets and they were there before him. Because before they got to Bethel, these people were already there. Before he got to Jericho, these people were already there. So they were already in ministry before him. So they were like, where is this one coming from? May God grant us grace and understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. And then, beyond that, Elijah said, the journey is not yet enough. The Spirit of God or the Lord is telling me still to go to Jordan. And that is the defining moment. Remember, at Jericho, as a matter of fact, the Bible said they went around the city, the walls, and the walls collapsed on their own. That's wonderful. That's God manifesting himself in a special way. But you remember at Jordan, it is a place of, if I call it, suicide mission. When they go to Jordan, the Bible was very clear to note that at that season, that Jordan overflows its banks. And even as they saw it overflow its banks, God did not say, where is Moses? Lift up your hand and let it be divided so that the people will enter. God says, march into it. You are seeing things that are impossible. And God is saying, go. It is at the height of manifestation of the supernatural. It is at the height of faith. Suicidal faith, if you like. Paul will say, sorry, Esther will say, if I perish, I perish. I am ready to dare the consequence. And that is at that point. And you discover that Elisha stayed through, because when the river was divided, it was, in short, before then, the Bible said that sons of prophets, they were already watching. Let us know. In saying no, they hear. Let's know whether he will cross Jordan. Let's know. And I'm sure at that point, the human in Elisha would have asked him a question. Do you want to take this risk? Now death, you then enter so. You think you can survive it. Meanwhile, did Elijah cross the Jordan before he started manifesting the supernatural? So many questions will begin to crop up in his mind. And these are distractions. And Elisha made up his mind. I am ready to throw in the towel. Even if it be the end. Let me die for something. And I tell you, Jesus summed it up. That those who lose their life for him, that they will gain it. That those who decide to gain their life, to save their life, that they will lose it. Elisha followed through, and we discover that if we had read on, we discover that it was after they crossed that Elijah now said, tell me, it's like you mean business. What is it that you want me to do for you? But there's something about this Elisha. Oh, how I pray that our following and that our desperation will come to this point. Elisha was very submissive to Elijah. But he had something at the back of his mind while following. If you must truly be able to overcome all forms of distractions and hit the target, you must have a focus. There must be something that you are following for. Elisha was not following Elijah. Elisha was following the God who Elisha was following. Do you know why I know? Why do I know? Elijah said, tell me what I will do for you. And Elisha said, a double portion of your spirit. He didn't say a double portion of your power. He didn't say a double portion of your anointing. If he had said anointing, maybe Elijah would have laid his hands on him. He said, it's your spirit. And I know you can't give it. It is not you that will give the spirit. It is God himself that gives the spirit. So it is the double portion of your spirit. He was going beyond Elijah to say, yes, I was following you all this while, but my eye is on the one you are following. So he is the one that can satisfy the thirst in my heart, not you. No wonder Elijah said, I never seen like this kind of thing before. This is beyond me. I can't do it. Elijah said, it's hard. I can't do it. I am not the giver of spirits. The spirit was given to me. So how will I now be able to give you mine? Not just mine, but a double portion of it. And Elijah said, anyway, I've seen that you are looking beyond me. So if you see him when he comes to take me, that's exactly, if I paraphrase what he said. He said, if you see me when I am taken. He's saying, if you see him when he comes to take me, then you can have what you desire. Because he's the one who gave me the one I have. So if you see him as he's taking me, he will also give you the one you are looking for. And of course, he collected what he was looking for. You will collect what you are looking for in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You will receive a double portion of the spirit that the Lord would want you to operate with in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to tell you to say that if we take this, having discussed that scripture, let's identify certain things that helped Elisha to be able to overcome. Number one is that he identified as Elijah and kept following him to the end. He knew who is Elijah. When they got to Bethel, they were sons of prophets. They were prophets everywhere. But he understood who his Elijah is, who the sent man is, who he is supposed to understand, who he should follow. Friends, you can't be following everybody. There's an Elijah for you. And the sooner you discover him, the sooner your life begins to align. Your ministry begins to align. Things will begin to work. I pray for you that you will discover your Elijah in the name of Jesus Christ. Discover this Elijah and he followed through with undivided attention. Even when he was being distracted by those who were there before him, even when Elijah, the sent man, Elijah was discouraging him. Three times, four times he discouraged him. Four times he said, I understand when the Spirit of God is speaking through you. This one I know is not the Spirit of God. I know you are the one speaking. And I have decided that I will stay true. Number two, he refused to be sidetracked by seeming successes. Of course, the sons of the prophets at Bethel were succeeding since they could see and know that mystery that Elijah was being taken away that day. Sons of the prophets at Bethel, both those at Jericho, they were spiritual, they were seemingly succeeding spiritually. But Elisha was able to know that there is success and there is good success. And he chose to go for good success, not just success. And then, the next one is that you can add 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 3 and 5. Let's just go. Because he discerned and shut out the voices of distractions, irrespective of the source, whether it's Elijah, whether it is the sons of the prophets, he discerned that this is the voice of destruction, and he was able to silence them and refuse to follow in them. He also refused seeming well-meaning suggestions that will slow his advance down. Seeming well-meaning, well-intentioned advices and suggestions. And they come in various ways. I don't think I would have been here, or I would have continued to be here if I had listened to certain well-meaning advices. Of course, it's a long time. I would have veered away, because they will tell you how that the pasture is greener in the other side. And you may look at it and it seems as though the pasture is truly greener in the other side. Tell you the advantages and all that and all that. But do you know who called you? Do you know what he has called you to do? Do you know what assignment he has given to you? If you do, please stick your neck to it. It doesn't matter how it seems not to be working. As you continue, you will discover that he who called you is faithful. Praise the Lord. No matter how well-meaning they were, he refused to be distracted by them. And then, because of my time, I have to speed up. Praise the Lord. Let me just round up. Tips that will help us avoid distractions. Number one is, I've said it, assignment. Discover the ministry assigned to you and follow it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Okay. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. He has given you some a ministry. Don't decide to do mine. You know, it is the, what do you call it? It is a time of apostle and prophet. Everybody is an apostle, is becoming an apostle. Everybody is becoming a prophet. Distraction. Tell somebody distraction. Don't carry that tag. Ask yourself, what is my assignment? And stick to your assignment. If you are assigned to teach, let it be that it is not moving the crowd. Go ahead and teach. If you have been called to be an evangelist, go ahead and evangelize. No, some evangelists will, along the line, they will decide to open one church or the other. Nah, let me find something that will be supporting me. Let me have a base. And from base, having a base, before you know it, he will settle. He will be based. Thank you, sir. From having a base, he will be based. He will now leave the ministry. There is an assignment you've been given. Stick to it. Number two, be yourself. Don't be a copycat. You are unique and your approach to ministry is different. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Do it the way you've been assigned to do it. You see, Father Bishop Oyedepo, that's the way he speaks. You see, our father, Pa Adeboye, you see, be yourself. You see, Reverend Dr. Mopai, you see, you are unique in your own way. Be yourself. Do it that way you are told to do it. Don't be a copycat so that you won't become a cat. Praise the Lord. Then the next thing, commitment and consistency. Okay, they displayed that Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to effectual working of the measure of every part. Your effectual working, there is something it is contributing, it is supplying to the entire body that will make it increase, that will make the body increase and be edified. So do it. God, who gave you that approach, who allowed you to be doing it that way, he knows that he wants to use it to contribute for the growth and edification of the church. Praise the Lord. Endure hardness. Make full proof of your ministry. There are challenging times in ministry, friends. It's not always sweet. There are certain times that is like, my show. Look at Paul. We know Paul is anointed. We know he was called. We know the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit of God upon him. But go 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and read his credentials. We say five times I was beaten with a rod. He says, often I was without food. He didn't say he was fasting. He mentioned fasting differently. And then mentioned the issue of endure hardness so that you can make full proof of your ministry. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, 4, and 5. Sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, and chapter 4, verse 5. Then, grace and gift operate according to the grace and measure of gift given to you. Operate according to the grace. The grace you receive is not the same grace I received. The grace you have, the measure of grace. There's something that I saw in Acts chapter 7. You discover that the Bible said that, Acts chapter 8. What do you call his name? Philip went to Samaria. And he was preaching, signs and wonders was happening. And they were coming to faith. Wonderful. Wow. It was. And. But do you know that the Bible says later, when Peter came, and those who came from, Peter now laid hands, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Philip no say, no be this area. My grace, no they operate very well in this area. So let me concentrate in the area of my grace. When the man who has that grace comes, let him operate it. Tell somebody, concentrate in your area of grace. In your area of grace. There's a measure of grace you have received. And the gift of God, the scripture says, it is the Spirit that distributed it according to his will. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He distributes it according to the will. Go back to Matthew. Jesus will say that the man who was traveling, that he gave them gifts severally according to their abilities. He knows your ability. He knows what he wants to ingress you to do. Please stick to it. Forget about that. You can grow from there, but start, concentrate first with what you have been given. And then I've been told to round up. Maintain the scriptural standard in your life and ministry. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Let's read that and then we'll pray. Maintain the standard of life and ministry. If you do these things, you will not be distracted, no matter the pressure of your peers. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Take heed unto thyself. You see? And unto the doctrine. You see, the first thing is unto thyself. You first, before the ministry. If the ministry is healthy and you are spiritually unhealthy, friend, you know what? Take heed unto thyself. He didn't say unto thy doctrine. He said unto the doctrine. The doctrine is fixed. Is the doctrine. Is don't produce your own. You know, we are in a... That's one of the distractions that we are suffering in our time. People are adding and adding because they want to make themselves Alpha and Omega. Please, stick to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself. You will first save yourself before you save another person, no? So concentrate with yourself first before looking for the salvation of those who hear you. I want us to pray. Please, my time is up. Father, help me. I refuse to fall for distraction. No matter the voice, no matter how convincing, no matter how concerned that voice might seem, I refuse to fall for them. I choose to follow through. I have received the ministry. And I've chosen to also operate according to the gift and the grace that I have received. Lord, I receive grace on this altar, in this meeting, in this month. I receive grace to be able to be consistent and to overcome all forms of distractions. In the name of Jesus Christ.